Oh, I'm so excited to be here this morning. What a great faith statement. But I know whom I've believed and am persuaded that he is able. I mean, is that not a faith statement? There's another line in this, because I've never heard this song before. It's a bit dark here. Which kind of ties into what I'm going to talk about anyway. Revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in him. Where do we get faith from? Not that I'm going back to the last message I spoke about, but we're going to tie it in anyway because it's really important. Where do we get faith from? The Word, by hearing the Word. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are faithful and true, and that you are able. You are able to do that which your Word says it would do. And I just thank you for this opportunity, and I just ask for your Holy Spirit to come and minister in this place in Jesus' name. Thank you, Gregory. Okay, well, I haven't been here for 4 weeks. Been up in Queensland and visiting the wet season up there and my mother and what have you. And my mother's very intrigued about this, the Amish community. I've had to lengthy conversations with my mum. She said, are you turning Amish? I said, not in the way that you think. I said, it's not like what you think or what you've seen. But so she said that when she comes down, she definitely wants to visit. And that encouraged me because I reckon she's going to love it. Absolutely. Okay, so it's always a challenge when you've been asked to bring something, you know you're going to get opposition. And the last 4 weeks, whoo, man, there's been some opposition. It's almost as if the enemy knows, oh, you've got something to bring. And it's not just here that it's released into the atmosphere. Yes. You know what I'm saying? It's released into the atmosphere around and about us. It's, those of us that have come here today, praise God. Thank you for showing up. It's absolutely brilliant. But it also goes out into the atmosphere. And it's, you know, this is by faith. The things that we say here is by faith. It comes by faith. So I wanted to talk about our daily bread. That's kind of the theme. It may, who knows where it's going to go. So I did write some notes and I need those. So I'll just start. That which Jesus accomplished at his first coming, he will also accomplish at his second coming. What was it that Jesus accomplished at his first coming? He was obedient to the Father and he gave his life a ransom for us. He dealt with sin, and because of what happened upon the cross, we've been redeemed and set free and reconciled to the Father through that which Christ has done. So Jesus Christ, in fact, fulfilled the requirements of the law, and he fulfilled the requirement of what the prophets had spoken about. Yet there are still things that have to come to pass that the prophets spoke about, which will be in his second coming. And that's what we look forward to. We look at the horizon of history, where we're at today, at the second coming. And it's very easy to lose sight of that if you're distracted by what's going on in the world. But then what's going on in the world points to the second coming. So it's like, let's not get weighed down with what's going on in the world, but let us rejoice at what's coming ahead. I had a conversation this week with somebody that got upset with me because I didn't get on board with current events and world events. They said, aren't you concerned? I said, yes, I am, but I don't live in darkness. I live in light. And they couldn't get their head around it. It's not that I don't care. It's just I know where I'm going and I know what's about to take place. And, you know, it's like, it's not that I'm going to stand by and watch it all happen. It's just that I know where I'm going, and we'll cover a bit more of that as I go along. All right. Let's see, where are we? Okay, the evidence of his first coming has been fulfilled. It's been recorded in his word, which is the Bible, okay? For you and I, that we would be encouraged together through faith, that the hope, the very witness we have by the Holy Spirit within us, keeps us looking towards the horizon of the fulfillment of the second coming. Amen. So the Word of God is so important, yet sadly neglected. It's sadly neglected. The Holy Spirit pulled me up one day. I hadn't read the Word for maybe 2 years, and I'd been a Christian for decades. I just was fed by whatever was coming from the pulpit and not following it up. I got into a really slack habit of doing that, And one day the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, all those people that shed their blood to preserve that word for you, you'll give account for if you're not even going to be bothered to read it. And it really was like, whoa. Men and women in generations past, over the centuries, over the millennium and beyond, have died to preserve this. Now we know this is only 400 something plus years old, etc. Before this collection, there were parchments, there were scriptures, things written down. And we're so blessed and fortunate that we take this for granted today. We've got the whole collection here. Or well, let's put it this way. What's necessary by faith to accomplish God's plans and purposes for our life? Okay, don't ever get caught up in an argument, but what about this, what about that, rah, rah, rah. Who's to say that there isn't other things out there, other writings, etc., but that shouldn't concern us. We have enough here to know what to do without it being a distraction that can cause us to err. All right, so let's talk about the Word of God. If you can turn with your Bibles, please, to John chapter 1. There's going to be some shuffling of the Bibles today, as usual. It's a good way to get around the Word of God. Okay, so I'm just going to read. I'm going to read right through to verse 14. It's quite dark here. Maybe it's just my eyeballs. Okay. In the beginning was the Word. Where was he? In the beginning. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who was the Word? The Word was God. Okay, let this sink in, people. This is so key. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of that light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Think about that, coming into the world. How do we come into the world? We're born into the world. So God has a promise for each one of us as we're born into the world, that light comes upon us. Obviously, we have the make the decision whether we choose to walk in light or darkness. But that's another time we're going to that different. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those whom believed in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we behold his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word in the beginning was with God, was God, and became flesh and dwelt with men. Okay? So in fact, this representation that we hold in our hand here is the Word made flesh. Everything we need to know about Jesus Christ is in this Word. And we should not negate or neglect in any way reading this. This is so key and important in our Christian lives. If we don't feed on this, we're going to starve spiritually and relationshiply with one another. Spiritually up and down. How can you know God if you don't read the Word? Now, I'm not saying people here don't read the Word, but remember, I'm speaking this out into the atmosphere because this is so neglected. People would rather sit down and listen to a podcast after podcast after podcast. There's nothing wrong with that, but it takes discipline to sit down. I'm going to open my Bible up. I'm going to cut all distractions off. I'm going to spend time with the Lord. And when you commit yourself to do that, it's very funny how distractions seem to appear. The phone will ring, or something will happen, or whatever it is, or you've forgotten something. Because the Word has power to change us. It has power to transform us into the image of Christ. Amen? All right. John 6. Let's turn over to John 6. I did speak with Gregory last night. I told him I was going to try and condense this down. I'm only still on my first page of notes. I'm trying hard. That's all good. Verse 33-35. Just standing over here in the light. I need a head torch next time I come in. That's all good. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and you do not believe." I think if you don't read this word of God, it's going to be hard to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. Who did Jesus confess himself to be? The bread of life. If we're not feeding on the word of God, how on earth can we be sustained for and equipped for that which God would have us to do if we're neglecting the word of God? Now, this is a faith thing. I'm big on faith because a lot of people don't believe that the word of God is what it is. A lot of people don't believe the Bible or believe anything it has to say. They believe it's a fairy tale or fables or whatnot. But God's proven himself to me faithful. He's proven to me time and time again that his word is true. Every time I read through the word of God, I get fed. Every single time, I get fed. Let's go to Matthew 6, verse 9. We should all be familiar with this one. Commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. I like to think of it as the disciples' prayer. Yeah, yeah. The disciples asked Jesus, "How do we pray?" And this is what he told them. And I am reading out of the New King James. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." Verse 11. "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." We'll go back to verse 11. "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, God is our provider. Absolutely, he is. He provides for us physically, but he also provides for us spiritually. Notice the word daily. It's our daily bread. We need to come to the Lord every day to get fed. Every day we need to spend time in the Word of God to get fed. Otherwise, we're going to starve ourselves spiritually. We're going to starve ourselves relationshiply. And I meditated on that over the last few days, this daily bread. It's like, I can't do this life without reading the Word of God. If a couple of days go by without reading it, I notice the effects on my life. And I'm sort of committed now to be reading every day for the rest of my life. I need it. It sustains me. It strengthens me. It's not so much, you know, the Bible says that man can't live on bread alone, but every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. What's that? That's what it is. Out of the volume of the book it was written of me to come and fulfill that which pleased the Father. Who was that? Jesus Christ. Where was he in the beginning? He was with God. He was God. He was made and manifest flesh to fulfill that which God had to redeem mankind back unto himself. I know, it sounds fantastic. Aren't you glad that you're a part of it? I certainly am. I think it's absolutely brilliant. It makes TV very boring. So it's a daily thing. We've got to come to God every day. Now, I'm sidetracking here because that's just what I do. There's a song that Keith Green did, and one of the lines was that if you can't come to me every day, don't bother coming at all. And the Lord spoke to me one day and he just said, if you can't come to me every day, why bother? And that was a bit of a loving rebuke. It's like, oh, it's a bit harsh. But that's how much he loves us. I want you to spend time with me every day. It's important. It doesn't matter how bad your day's been. And trust me, the last 4 weeks, I'm giving a devotional. I'm embarrassed. Some of the things that have come my way, the frustrations and that's quite typical. I'm not too proud to repent. I'm not too proud to say, Lord, forgive me for allowing anger, the frustration to turn to anger over something that's so ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I got home yesterday late and my wife wasn't home. She was out at a friend's place and I looked out the backyard And there was a bucket, and it looked like it had been kicked. And I thought, she's had a frustrating day. The bucket was split in half. And this morning I said to her, I said, did you have a frustrating day? I noticed you've kicked the bucket. She went, I don't need to know anymore. I don't need to know anymore. But that bucket, it copped it. Because she was rebuilding a carburetor on a motorcycle, and I know that that's frustrating. That's very frustrating. And she didn't want my help. I said, fine, I'm out of here. No problem. So it's daily. All right, we're going to go back to John 27. I'm cruising here. I'm getting there. I really enjoy coming out here. It's such a breath of fresh air. It is such a breath of fresh air. You get fed three ways here. You get fed, your soul gets fed, your spirit man gets fed, and at the end of it, the flesh man gets fed. That's fantastic, unless you're fasting, of course. What did I say? John 6, 33. No, 27. I said 27, didn't I? Did I say John 6, 27? I think I said John 6, 27. Are we there?
Yeah.
Do not labour for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has sent his seal on him. So there's food that we labour for, obviously, that we eat, and we need to eat. And the human body's not going to do too well if we don't eat. But then there's food that doesn't perish. And that's the Word of God. You know, the Word of God's not going to strive with man forever, the Bible says. It's not going to strive forever. But it's not going to dissipate into nothing either. It endures forever. So it's just something to think about. Look, we can spend money on stuff and pursue things, whatnot, that only have temporal benefit. But this Word of God has an eternal benefit to our souls and into the next life, as in this life also. Oh, how does it benefit us? Well, I've just answered the question before I even get to the question. Let's turn to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Praise you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. You're so good to us. Chapter 3, verses 16, 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. How can we be thoroughly equipped if we're not going to the Word and being fed by the Word? There's absolutely no way we'll know what to do or how to do it if we don't go to the manual. If I went to a foreign country and I couldn't speak the language, I'd have a hard time getting around, wouldn't I? It's no different with the Word of God. If we want to pursue righteousness, peace, and have joy in the Holy Spirit, we need to know how to do it. So we've got to go to the manual. This is the manual right here. And this is sufficient for this life. This here is sufficient. We don't need any more. We don't need any less. This is sufficient. At least I believe so. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, 16. It's good to hear those Bibles flapping around. Okay, so how does the Word benefit us? Well, here's another way it benefits us. It says here, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's fantastic. So this Bible, this Word of God, has the power to bring us into salvation. There's another scripture that says that, you know, for those that are perishing, this is foolishness. But for those that are being saved, this is very important. We need to continue in the Word of God over and look. I mean, look at my Bible. Look, it's like colours. I love colouring in my Bible. In fact, I've got to stop myself sometimes because I think I've got too much in there. I won't know what's going to pop out now, so I've got to go get another Bible and then and colour it in, and colour in different scriptures. But that's what I like. Someone once asked me, "Why do you colour in your Bible?" Because God spoke me through that scripture, and when I'm flicking through the Word. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh, I was going through this. That scripture helped me, or whatever it is. Oh, I really enjoy doing that. Some people think, oh, you shouldn't do that. God will get upset. I don't think so. Let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Oh, it's so good to be out here at Springfield. I really enjoy coming out here. It's such a blessing.
'Daily bread, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
The word of God gives us discernment. It helps us rightly divide the word of God. The word of God is under so much attack, and it has been for centuries. People have been trying to wipe it out for so long. Why is that? Because this has the power to change you. It has the power to change people. The Word of God has the power to translate people from out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. The ministry that the Apostle Paul has was to minister to those that were bound by Satan and bring them into the kingdom of God. That's how powerful this is. Nobody's been successful, not permanently anyway, of trying to eradicate the Word of God. That has to tell us something, that the Word of God is true and it is powerful. You know, that's going to lead me straight to Hebrews. You know it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Let's go there. We should all be familiar with this. And I love this. How I absolutely... This is so precious to me. For the Word of God is living. It's not living when it's shut. It's living when it's open and you're reading it. For the Word of God is living, powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the divisions of the soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and the intents of the heart. I was listening to a fellow one time, a very good teacher, somebody that I like to listen to a lot, by the name of Derek Prince, passed away some years back now. He just simplified the Word of God, just made it very easy to digest. And one of the things he quoted one time is that when you're reading the Word is reading you. And Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 just tells us there that it's a discerner of thoughts. There's no way you can read the Word. If your heart is for the Lord, read the Word and not be challenged by it. The good thing about the Word is that when you read and ask the Holy Spirit to breathe upon it, if there's issues in your life, He's going to let you know. You can't hide nothing from the Lord. You can push it down and suppress it and go, la, 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 la. I did that for a long time. But he has His way. He comes back and He goes, Doug, you need to deal with this. You got that attitude problem. You need to forgive that person. Oh, this. Sometimes I'll be lying on my bed and I'll think of something I did 25, 30 years ago. I've completely forgotten about it. I'm like, oh my God, I need to repent. Oh my gosh, I forgot all about that. Oh, that's horrible. But that's good. That's good that I'm tuned in and my ears open to hear. But without reading this, there's no way I can be tuned in. Absolutely not. This here is our daily bread. I love it. It's absolutely awesome. All right. Okay. I'll shorten it up. I've got six more pages of notes, but no. Oh, I'm not kidding. I do. I'm only on page 3. I missed page 2. If we're not skilled in the Word, In other words, we're not feeding on it. We're like babes, okay? God requires us to be sons and daughters who bring fruit to maturity. The very thing God looks to produce in our lives, and that is the character of Jesus Christ. Where do we find the character of Jesus Christ? How do we become more like Jesus Christ? It's here. It's not tele-evangelism. It's not podcasts. It's not even going to church. All right? All those things are fine. All those things can produce something positive in our lives. But this here, that's the manual. This is the thing that, this is our benchmark. This is our yardstick. This is what we govern everything by. Without spending time in the Word, we are open to deception, leading to destruction. In Matthew 24, and we won't go there, but the disciples asked Jesus, you know, how do we know when these times, these end times are coming, etc., etc.? Well, the very first thing he says is, see that you're not deceived. That's not a suggestion, that's a commandment. How do we stop ourselves from being deceived? But that's blind faith, Doug. How can you be like that? Because that's what God requires. The foolishness of the message, God's happy about it. He thinks it's great. Because what does it do? It confounds the wise. It doesn't make sense. It's too easy. You don't have to be university educated or jump through all whatever hoops and whatnot, the 27 steps to the 10 ways of being righteous with God. It's not like that. It stops us from being deceived. You know, deception's so subtle. To be deceived, if you are deceived, you don't know you're being deceived unless you've got something to measure it off. Yeah. I know all about deception. I unfortunately walked deceived for a long time, at least a decade, thinking I was doing God a favour, thinking I was doing the right thing, but really I was only fulfilling my own ambition and putting God's name at the end of it. By God's grace, he got me out of a big, big mess, and you know where I returned? And he opened the scriptures up to me and showed me where, wrong here, wrong here, wrong here. But I love you, Doug, and I allowed you to go through all that. It's actually made me stronger. Not that I'm suggesting we go out and get deceived, but I would have preferred not to have been deceived or allowed myself to be deceived. So now I'm in the Word all the time. If I receive a word of the Lord from somebody, praise God, that's awesome. Always go back here. Does that measure up here? Is it in context with what's going on here? Plenty of people out there giving out words, prophetic words and whatnot, and there's nothing wrong with that, but the Bible says test every word, test every spirit. And it's normally the ones that sound really good, they're the ones you really want to be looking at. Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 verse 14. I'm wrapping it up. Oh, that's good, I didn't hear one amen, so that means I can keep going. Awesome. Oh, fantastic. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Okay, so this is about deception. I'm just carrying on, tying this in. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things in him who is the head, which is Christ. So if we're not planted in the Word of God, we're going to be just bouncing off one doctrine, bouncing off another movement, bouncing off what's popular, etc. You know, this is rock solid. You know, this is awesome. You know, every song in here is a sermon. It's a sermon. And when we go through, this is kind of new for me. Even though I've been coming here for a while, sort of off and on. This is so challenging. It shows me how far the church has slipped. It's slipped a lot. If you go to a mainstream church, and I'm not having a go, man, it's just... it's hypnotism. It's just boring. It's just words, emotional, trash. I'm being frank. This is a sermon. Every song's a sermon. I think, wow, the people 200 years ago had a different revelation. Yeah. and relationship with God than what we do today. But God's gracious to us. But you want to know something? This hasn't changed in 200 years. This is the same word they were reading and getting inspiration to write songs from. It hasn't changed. All right. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How do we do that? Let's turn to Romans 12. Verse 2. Because your mind needs to be renewed every single day. And where do we go to renew our minds? To the Word. Who is the Word? It's Jesus Christ, the bread of life. What did I say? I said 12, not 2. 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So by reading this word of God every single day, it gives us the opportunity to prove God's word, to prove his faithfulness, to prove his righteousness, to prove what he says is true. That's encouraging me already. Without knowing God's word, we cannot overcome. Okay? We can't overcome. How can we overcome the obstacles of life if we don't know the word of God? How can we overcome the enemy if we don't know the word of God? Our enemy is very skilled in the word of God. You know, what a preacher once said, and it was interesting, he said, for the devil to know what God's up to, the devil's got to go to the word of God to find out. Because the devil's not omnipresent. God is. So, all right. What's our testimony, people? What's our testimony? Let's go to Revelations chapter 12, verse 11. Because this is really, really key. Because if we don't have the right testimony, we're in trouble. I love the book of Revelations. It's absolutely fantastic. And they, that's us, overcame him, that's the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And, this is what people like to leave out, but we're not leaving it out. And they did not love their lives to the death. What's our testimony? That we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, begotten of the Father. He fulfilled the law of Moses and the words of the prophets. He died on a cross and on the third day rose again by the power of the Father and is now seated at the right hand of power. That's our testimony. Our personal testimony is what God's word has done for us. Doug Kirkpatrick got saved, 21 years old, came out of witchcraft, came out of alcoholism, came out of drug abuse, came out of da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. My life started then. That's my testimony. How's that possible? Because of what Christ did for me. I accepted what Christ did for me and I embarked on a journey, a new journey. The old man buried in the grave was crucified on the cross and the new man is what you see before you today. I just want to just cover this in a nutshell part that I just wrote down that describes who Jesus is in a nutshell and then I'll finish. In a nutshell, the preeminence of Christ is the universal government. He's the visible image of God, the agent of creation, the sustainer, the head of the church. In reconciliation, he reconciles us through his death. He lives in us as our hope of glory. In wisdom and knowledge, the source of all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, worldly philosophy does not conform to him. The gospel's not a debate. It's not a debate. People have lost their lives. They've been murdered for what they've stood on. That must tell you something. The disciples, after Jesus had ascended back into heaven, bar one, all died a martyr's death. You don't die a martyr's death unless you've had an encounter with Christ. It's changed your life forever. Where do you get an encounter with God? Here. By spending time in it. Holy Spirit, open my eyes. Show me in the scriptures. Speak to me. What is it that you have for me? The Holy Spirit does not disappoint. In religious observance, we are alive in him. There's no need anymore through Christ for legalism or ritualism. In Christian living, the source of our new life is in him. In him we die to the power of sin. Where do I get all this information from? Here. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Oh, I thank you for your precious word. I thank you for that which you've given us, our daily bread. And I pray, Lord, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, prompt us every day to read through the scriptures and to get excited about it. And that you would lead us in all avenues of truth and righteousness for your name's sake, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, still got 5 pages of notes left. Look at that. Thank you, Gregory. I appreciate that.